God is good all the time. Amen. Praise God. If you wouldn't mind standing, we're going to read one verse from Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Amen. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. To speak this morning on the golden illusion. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for your presence in this place. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. We thank you, God, for the word that you have given us that's sharper than any two-edged sword. Let it this morning pierce even to our hearts and divide between the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow. I pray, God, for your anointing upon me that I can be a messenger upon all of us, that we can hear your word, that we can respond appropriately, we can honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. Amen. According to author Michael Minster, between 1530 and 1650 or so, thousands of Europeans searched the jungles, plains, mountains, and rivers of South America for El Dorado. Many of them losing their lives in the process. El Dorado was a mythical city, supposedly located somewhere in the unexplored interior of South America. It was said to be unimaginably rich, with fanciful tales of gold-paved streets. Does that sound familiar? Golden temples and rich mines of gold and silver. But it was a golden illusion. Thousands of adventurers from all over Europe were making their way to the New World. These adventurers had little or no personal fortune, but they had great ambition. They were violent, ruthless men who had nothing to lose, and they hoped to be rich with New World gold or to die trying. Thousands of men made dozens of forays into the unmapped interior of South America and continued to search for this legendary lost city of gold. At best, they were able to map out the interior and explore places that Europeans had not been before. But at worst, they were greedy, obsessed butchers who tortured their way through native populations. Many thousands of men searched, and many of those lost their lives. Many indigenous peoples, even whole tribes, were wiped out by the treasure seekers. But it was all a golden illusion. El Dorado, the city of gold, never existed. Not here on this earth, except in the fevered imaginations of these seekers. So it was never found. Gold is still considered valuable today. One gold seller's website said gold is valuable because it has these qualities. First of all, there's protection in gold. Isn't that funny? Do you think that's true? Gold is tangible and a liquid asset without credit risk. So we're protected if we have gold. There's liquidity. Gold can be readily converted to cash. That's a magic word, cash. If you say it right, cash, it means more. And it is globally recognized currency. Gold can be used anywhere on this earth. Diversification. It lowers your overall portfolio risk. And to some of us, that's another language. And gain protection from the future markets of inflation. One Bible commentator said that one of the main reasons gold was valuable in the ancient world, besides its rarity, was the fact that it lasted a long time. It was valued because they could make coins out of it, and the coins could travel around, and they would last, whereas other means of exchange could be destroyed more easily or wear out, be misplaced, but gold lasted. But James in 5:1 lets us know that gold does not last forever. Look at James chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. Go to now, you rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. You have heaped treasure together for the last days. Now, the Bible does not condemn wealth for the sake of being wealthy. But what James is addressing in his letter is people who trust in their wealth and who equate wealth with spiritual blessings or with godliness. So when he's attacking this concept of wealth and weep and howl, because he's addressing those who are trusting in their wealth, who are believing in the power of gold. It was a golden illusion. And his point was this, that however long your gold coins may last, they're still temporal. And the day will come when they will be worth nothing. They will rust and canker. They're temporal. They're not eternal. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall never pass away. Well, probably not many of us, maybe some of us, but maybe many of us, we could say, well, that's great because I don't have any gold. Doesn't apply to me. But I don't think we're just talking about gold, the material gold. We're talking about a larger concept. 1 John 2:15 says this, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. See, I think the principle that the Scripture is addressing, I believe the principle that the Spirit of the Lord would address this morning here in this service, is that we're talking about materialism. We're talking about worldliness. Now, a lot of times in Pentecost, when we say worldliness, we think of certain, what we call holiness standards, but worldliness is an attitude. Worldliness is a mindset. And holiness is an attitude and a mindset just the same. And the difference is, what is the focus of your will and your purpose and your life? If we love the world and the things of the world, we are motivated by the lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life, and certainly the pursuit of gold falls right into that category. If we're seeking the things of the world, we're following a golden illusion that somehow we'll find fulfillment in this world, in the things of this world. Ultimately, we're talking about what we value most in our lives. Where do you seek answers? Where do you seek protection? Like the gold website said. Is it in wealth? Is it in fame? Is it politics? Is that your answer? Is it personal power and authority? Is it beauty or education? Or do you identify with some social movement that you think is going to save the world? I don't think we can even completely rely on family. All of these are part of life and can't be ignored. Some of these are very important and must be a part of a godly life. But to trust in them, to rely on them, to seek them, is a violation of the will of God in our lives. What did the verse say that we read? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What's first in our lives? Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? The question is this, what am I living for? Ask yourself that question. What am I living for? Am I living for more of what I have? Am I living for the things I want but I don't have? Or am I living for God? Am I living for Jesus Christ? Jesus said the first and the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Praise God. Too much of this world is seeking after a golden illusion. We think that somehow if we can just get the right house or the right job or the right relationship, the right person in our lives, if we can have the large enough 401, 403B is what comes to mind because that's what we have. The largest retirement. If I can just get my retirement straightened out, I've got it made. It's a golden illusion. It's all going to pass away. You know what? I bought a truck not too long ago, a used truck. It's a 2008, and for some of the men here, I finally got a real truck. Because my other truck wasn't big enough to be a real truck. So, anyway, when I looked at it, of course it's red. Everybody knows you have to have a red truck, right? And it's a bright red. And it was in the price range I wanted. And it was a full-size truck, and it only had 92,000 miles on it, and I was really excited when I saw it. I looked at a lot of trucks online, and I looked at a lot of trucks on the lot, and when I saw this one, something happened in my heart. I walked around that truck 10 times, I think. Pretty red truck. Oh, it looks so good. It looks like the leather interior. Yeah, it was old. It was used. But, man, it looked nice. Shiny. But a funny thing happened when I got it home and it was sitting in my driveway. That's when I saw the two spots of rust on either side. I don't know how I missed it. I promise you, I looked at it over and over again. But it was so shiny. It's an illusion. Gold will not last forever. Gold will not protect you. Gold will not keep you safe. Look at Revelation 21:18. And you've heard this said by probably a lot of people before, but I think it's a great point. Revelation 21:18, and the building of the wall, talking about the heavenly city. The building of the wall of it was jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. I don't know what that means, really, but pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx. You pronounce it the way you want, I'll pronounce it the way I want. The sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprasus, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were, transparent glass. If you look around this building, you see these walls. How many of you saw this when it was being constructed? Okay. You know what this room looks like without the trim, without the paint. And if you've ever seen a piece of sheetrock and you looked at it, it doesn't look very valuable. Matter of fact, they don't cost too much. I haven't checked the price, but one piece of sheet. Brother Tom Nelson knows a little bit about sheetrock. He's probably handled 10,000 tons of it in his days. And I'll bet he doesn't think it's, the only way it's valuable is once it's put together and you can sell a house is the only way that it's valuable. But in and of itself, it has no real great value. But here in this picture of the heavenly city, the building materials are the precious gems and the precious metals that we strive to attain here on the earth. That just, to me, I don't think that's a mistake. I think God did that on purpose. On earth, it's valuable for you, but for me, it's sheetrock. It's floor tile. It's pavement. It's not that valuable to me. Here's another thing about that. It says gold, so pure, it's like clear glass. You won't find that kind of gold here on the earth. It doesn't exist. White gold, yellow gold, platinum, silver. I don't like clear glass. We have never seen it. And we never will until we get to heaven. More pure than any gold here on the earth. And God says, I'm going to build a road and I'm going to use the purest gold that exists in all eternity. Here it's just an illusion. The value that we place on things. It's a golden illusion. Whole generations dreamt about cities of gold. People died over it. People killed others over it. Destroyed whole groups of people for an image, for an illusion. But we do the same with our own lives. We spend our time and money and energy on an illusion. According to our author, there was a grain of truth in the El Dorado myth. It was the Muisca people of Cundinamarca. That I can say at least. That's where Colombia is today. I've been in a room in Colombia. They have a museum. It's called the Museo de Oro. And it's a museum that is just full of gold. And there was an entire civilization that's represented here in this museum. And they have a vaulted room about the size of, from the front row here and half of the auditorium, it's a vault, a big vault on the door. And when you take the tour, you go into that room and it's dark. And then when everyone's in there, they turn on the lights and the walls are just full of gold, floor to ceiling. All these artifacts from the past civilization of things made of gold. And of course they have the lights set just so that everything shines and twinkles. And you have to draw your breath because it's so overwhelming. Just millions of dollars of gold. I'm standing in the middle of all this gold. It's amazing. But they didn't give me any when I left. So one day it's all going to burn up. It's going to melt. It's not going to exist. this is the Muisca people of ancient Colombia. They had a tradition. Their king would coat himself in a sticky sap, which doesn't sound like fun in the first place. But then he would cover himself in gold powder so that he would be golden. Literally, this man would be just gold from top to bottom because that sap would hold that gold powder. And then the king, with all the people gathered around on the shore, would take a canoe to the center of Lake Guatavita, and before the eyes of thousands of his subjects, he would jump into the lake. Gives a new meaning to go jump in the lake. He would jump into the lake, covered in gold, and then he would emerge completely washed and cleansed of that covering. And then the great festival would begin. By the time the Spanish came to the Muisca, this tradition had already died out. But that's where the root of the whole legend began. As a matter of fact, the word El Dorado, it's not talking about a city. The word El Dorado was Spanish for the Gilded One. El Dorado was not a city. It was a person. See, the greatest thing we can gain in life is not a golden city. It's a person. His name is Jesus Christ. And just like this king, when he was dipped in the water and he came out clean, we can be baptized into Jesus Christ. I want to go to the holy city. I want to go and walk on streets of gold. But I have to, the only way I can get there is if I'm in Jesus Christ. The Bible says that when we're baptized into Jesus Christ, that our sins are washed away forever. Praise God. Let's stand. I don't know what you're seeking this morning. I don't know what struggle you're working through. But I do know this, that the answer is not in a pile of gold. The answer is not in a political party. The answer is not in a social movement. The answer is in Jesus Christ. We have recently heard it spoken over this pulpit, and it's a verse I remind myself of all the time. The scripture says that we can cast all of our cares upon Him because He cares for us. So whatever your need this morning, whatever you're seeking, I want to encourage you that turn away from the golden illusion that the world has given you, that somehow you're going to find healing, somehow you're going to find wealth, somehow you're going to find fulfillment in something other than a right relationship with Jesus Christ. He wants to wash your sins away. He wants to fill you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If you will only turn from seeking after the things of this world, that's called repentance, and ask His forgiveness for any sin in your life, He will, the Bible says, He will fill you with the Holy Ghost. You'll know that has happened when you start to speak in a language you never knew, because He will have filled you up with His presence. Praise God. Jesus Christ is the real El Dorado. And He's present in this place this morning, and He's waiting for you to come. Praise God. If you have a need, if you're a child of God and you're struggling with something, don't forget your first love. Don't forget where your life changed once before. Maybe even many times before. that God is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's in this place. If you have a need, I want to encourage you to step out from where you are. If you need healing, come on down to the front and we will pray for your healing. If you have never been baptized in Jesus' name, if you have never been repented of your sins, if you have never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, this is really what you're looking for. This is really what you need. You can start a new life today in Jesus Christ. Praise God. Hallelujah. Won't you come?